Hi everyone, welcome back to episode 4 of 19 Bosses, where we pull back the shiny curtain of corporate America and tell relatable stories in hopes of helping you all navigate the business world.
Hi, I'm Julie.
And I'm Sabrina, and today we're bringing you a story that we like to call Catfights and Nice Guys. Now, if you're joining us hoping that we're going to expose people and businesses all across corporate America, this probably isn't the podcast for you. Instead, we aim to keep all people and businesses anonymous while still sharing these crazy and often relatable stories with all of you. Our hope is that you can learn something from each of Julie's stories and take those lessons with you as you navigate your own career path. Now, I'm sure we all know someone who's a little hot-headed and irrational. Well, today's episode isn't about that type of boss. Today, we're talking about a nice guy. Actually, a really nice guy.
Honestly, he was just about the nicest guy you have ever met. I mean, seriously. The kind of guy that doesn't have a mean bone in his body. But sometimes in business, being too nice doesn't work. But working for this man, let's call him Mr. Nice Guy, did teach me the importance of speaking up when things aren't going well, despite the criticism you might get. Now, let me set the stage for you. Mr. Nice Guy was new to our company, new to our industry, actually. And while he did have a solid background in sales, he didn't have the background in technology sales for the role he took. Unfortunately, this was a tactical error by the executives who thought it would be a good idea to bring him into the fold. I totally get it. I probably made a regrettable hire myself at one point. I mean, he looked good on paper, he interviewed well, and all his references were impeccable. The company was also at a time where we needed change. Staying status quo wasn't an option. And in order to right the ship, the management team needed to make bold moves. Sometimes they work, and sometimes they don't. So what was the issue? Well, he had spent 20 years selling a physical product. The world of software and startups is a whole different ballgame. If you listen to our first episode, Bows and Warrants, you know that I could sympathize with the challenges that come with changing industries. If you listen to our third episode, Cold Calls and House Parties, you will know that I also struggled early on selling technology. I mean, I felt for this guy. But he was a fish out of water and struggled to adapt to the rapidly advancing world of technology. He wasn't with us long before it became obvious that he was in over his head. Honestly, I wish that he would have worked out in the role. He was probably the nicest and most understanding boss I had my entire career. I'll take working for a nice guy over a jerk any day of the week. So I really didn't have a problem with them. But the company was in a place where they needed a leadership team who could make changes quickly, but that usually requires someone who is a bit outspoken. He was not that. I think that he was terrified of looking like he didn't know what he was doing, which in turn prevented him from making hard decisions that would have made him more impactful in the role. I think if he had done that, he would have had a fighting chance.
What do you think is one key thing that could have maybe helped Mr. Nice Guy make an impact?
Yeah, so I think he needed to be more assertive and inquisitive. He rarely spoke up in meetings, and I don't remember him asking a single question unless it was about our deals. I think that really hurt him in the long run. I mean, it was frustrating for all of us, and I'm sure he felt like he was letting the team down. Looking back, I hope that he knew how much we all appreciated what a great guy he truly was. I mean, I'll share with you the one thing that I did not appreciate at the time that I should have was how much he protected us from the stress and pressure from executives that comes with a company that is not performing. I mean, I fully appreciate this now and wish that I could go back and tell him thank you. I mean, in that regard, he was one of my best bosses. So you may be wondering how Mr. Nice Guy could have ended up in a cat fight. Well, it was actually me, not Mr. Nice Guy, that ended up in a cat fight.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, as I mentioned earlier, the frustration and the job pressure, it was just getting to everyone. And it was hitting me especially hard one day. So here we are in the boardroom. We've got stakeholders, C-suite, my team, some new colleagues who had joined us from a recent acquisition. And what were we discussing? Well, territories. Now, this was a huge issue we were facing at the company at the time, and they couldn't seem to figure it out. They could not figure out how to align sales territories, and it was quite literally a free-for-all. So clearly, they brought on Mr. Nice Guy, hoping that he would be the one to set the foundation for our go-forward strategy. So here we are. We're discussing accounts, roles, pipeline, all that good stuff. And since it was a free-for-all at the time, every salesperson in the room was staking claim to the accounts they wanted to have. This is where it went wrong. If you've ever been at a company who's been building out their sales strategy, you may be able to relate to the conflicts that can come from multiple reps working these same accounts or stepping on each other's toes.
Gosh, that must have been so hard. I can't even imagine. But come on, Julie, you keep saying cat fight. When are you going to tell us about this actual cat fight?
All right. Well, there was this one rep who came over to my company due to the acquisition. I'm just going to call her Miss Entitled. I think that name suits her pretty well. She felt as if she owned everything and she wasn't about to relinquish any of her control. That's her word, not mine. By this point, she had claimed a majority of our strategic accounts. I mean, she was leaving even some of our most tenured salespeople giving up their accounts because she was taking them. She and I had been dancing around each other for hours about some of these accounts. Where was Mr. Nice Guy? Well, he was actually sitting in the corner of the room at this point, and the rest of our leadership team and peers, well, they were sitting there pretty quiet as well. I think they were too scared to get into an argument with Miss Entitled. Well, this is when things really went downhill, when a key account of mine was brought up. Now, this was a huge opportunity, massive. I had been working this prospect for months, probably like 9 or 10 months, almost a year. And I finally had a demo scheduled with the key stakeholders from both companies. Well, Miss Entitled shared that she knew people there and she believed that she should take over and run the opportunity from this point forward. So how did this go over with me? Not great. I was not going to give up months of hard work and basically screw over my quota because someone felt as if their connections trumped hard work. Now, don't get me wrong. I am all about teamwork. And if I had still needed to get a foot in the door, then I think a really good compromise would have been to share this account. But I was so far along in the sales process that it just didn't make sense at this point.
So who ended up with the account?
Well, it definitely got a bit ugly that day, but ultimately, I did. I mean, for me, that was one of the most memorable meetings that I have ever had in a boardroom. Because to this day, my former colleagues still take jabs at me because they thought we were going to go at it right then and there. There was actually one of my good friends in a chair between us. And I still remember vividly my friend pushing the chair away from the table, throwing her hands up and saying, "I'm out. You guys settle this." I mean, it was crazy. I mean, looking back, it was pretty hilarious because come on, we're senior sales reps in a meeting trying to work towards the betterment of the company. And anyways, I'm 5'2". How much damage could I do? So
touche.
So I don't know how long this debate went on, but you know, they had decided to give me ownership of the account. And ultimately, when the deal did close sometime later, I know she was a bit salty, but the decision for me to keep the account, it was made by the executives who had the best interests of the company in mind.
Did the company after this ever figure out how to better handle bringing on new sales teams and aligning these territories so there wasn't conflict moving forward?
Yes, yes. So not long after this wonderful day, we had a new sales structure and rules of engagement protocol that rolled out. I mean, I'm pretty sure that they didn't want to repeat performance from that day. To be honest, it wasn't the first time that there was channel conflict. Now, I know that every sales organization experiences this. It's just part of the nature of sales. But when you don't have any sales processes in place and a leadership team who doesn't want to make hard decisions, it can be a very uncomfortable work environment.
Gosh. Looking back, is there anything that you would have done differently?
Yeah, so I was still fairly new in my career. You know, it was still kind of the early days for me. And let's just say I was somewhat passionate. I mean, I like to think that I still am. But maybe if I could have kept my cool a little bit better, it would have been helpful. But at the time, you know, I didn't feel like I had a boss that was willing to speak up on my behalf. I didn't feel like I had really ever had a boss that was willing to speak up on my behalf at that point. So I feel like at that point, I felt like I had to speak up for myself.
What would you say to any professional, no matter their role, about how they could go on handling internal conflict, whether it's with a team member or someone in a different division entirely?
Yep. So first of all, if you have a good leader, then hopefully you won't find yourself in this type of situation. It's part of a leader's job to help mitigate against issues before they escalate. But of course, this doesn't always happen. If your boss doesn't step in to help, then you need to ask them directly. If they can't or won't, then depending on your relationship with their leader, sometimes you have to go above them. This is truly a judgment call. I've had to do this a few times in my career, but I have always made sure that this was only a step that I took after it became clear that I had no other choice. In some serious situations, it may be necessary to bring HR in. I mean, every company is different. So it's really up to you, but you should always know that there are options.
What would you say to any current leaders or someone who is aspiring to become a leader one day?
Well, what I'm about to say is something that I feel very strongly about after working for Mr. Nice Guy. And I think that maybe had he found the courage to speak up and make hard decisions, then he would have made the positive impact that our stakeholders were looking for. I share this story because I really believe that a leader's role is to guide, coach, and most importantly, I mean, at least to me, put themselves in positions where they are the ones who make the hard calls. To me, a leader should be prepared to receive criticism and not always just being seen as the nice guy or girl. The leaders who I had the most respect for and would work for again in a heartbeat, they were the ones who always spoke up and put themselves on the front line between conflict or pressure, no matter what. I mean, those were the leaders who I knew had my back. I knew that they were trying to protect me. Ultimately, looking back, these were the leaders that I went above and beyond for.
Wow, I love that take. I think that's a really, really good call out as a leader. You should be willing to put yourself in that position so that the people that report to you don't have to feel like they have to do that themselves. I'm sure that anyone listening in right now has probably had bosses that fit on all sides of the spectrum there. So now we covered this story. I know that we spent the last couple episodes talking about your job where no matter if it's been in a boardroom, a regular office, work from home, but I think it's really important that people also know that your career also sometimes took you abroad. And next week, we wanted to share a story about how not asking one simple question can lead to a series of comical events.
Oh, yes. The Google and Visa story. And if you're wondering if this is the one episode where I will break our golden rule and not mention the company name, well, I guess you're going to have to tune in to find out.
Oh my goodness. Bye, everyone. Thank you so much for watching.
Bye, everyone. Take care.